Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
I was reminded of worshiping in Greece, and we were in this little tiny... Oh, you could give me a... Thank you. That was very sweet of you. It's alpaca. Let's go. I've never preached in a shawl before. I feel like a superhero. Thank you. Actually, this is really warm. Wow. That is alpaca. All right. I was reminded of a church service I went to in Greece, and it was this little tiny church. It was about the size, actually, of this row or this aisle here. Yes. And it was full of refugees from around the world. And they were at, it was on Lesbos, which was the greatest, the biggest refugee camp in Europe at the time. And then unfortunately it burned to the ground. It's very, very tragic. But it resembled more like a concentration camp when we were there. It was very, very tragic. And, but they would come to church and it was like every row spoke a different language. No one could really communicate, but once the music started, it didn't really matter. And everybody was singing in their own language, and I'll never forget that. And it was very warm, and that's what God was reminding me when I was out there. He was like, just suck it up, and we're in church, and it's okay. Us Americans, we get a little soft sometimes, so it's good to be cold or warm for a minute. So just remind of the Christians all over the world. What do you give a sick lemon? Lemonade. I don't know who said it, but someone over there. All right. Hopefully this one's better. What kind of nuts always have a cold? Cashews. I thought that was the best one. All right. So we are talking about communion this month, and it's been really special to hear the testimonies of people who have been taking it every day. And one thing that my husband and I have been doing is we actually haven't taken the bread and the juice every day, but what we've done is we've taken an intentional moment to remember Jesus at a meal. And so I encourage you, you know, maybe you're like, well, I don't have a bunch of bread and juice. That's okay. Just whatever you're eating, just remember Jesus in it. And it's really powerful, and it really centers your day. It centers your relationship or your work, whatever it is. It kind of just centers your spirit. Amen? But I was reading a book. It's called Communion, actually, and it had some testimonies in it, and I wanted to share because these were really powerful. One testimony was about a leader that I actually know personally. He runs a ministry called Heaven in Business. And if you are a businessman, I really encourage you to look up Heaven in Business. His name is Andy Mason. He's a fantastic man. He actually just wrote a book about hearing God's voice in business. I haven't read it yet, but he's a great guy, so I'm sure it's a good book. But he actually also went into prisons and did prison ministry at a time, and he took communion into the prisons, and he saw many prisoners get healed. I thought that was really powerful because where many of us can't actually lay hands on people, like it says to in the Bible, there's this other idea where maybe communion, where Jesus can go where we can't, right? The body of Jesus can actually impact people where we can't pray for them. Isn't that powerful? I love that. Another testimony was about business owners he knew, because that's his main ministry, and they were in a crisis in their business, and they started to take communion every day and just center themselves on Jesus and what he paid for, and they got a huge breakthrough in their business that made no sense because they were lining up who they were with what Jesus died to give us and his identity that we can walk in. Amen? Isn't that powerful? So I really feel that communion answers that identity crisis, and it answers the pull that we can often feel in our life, especially right now. There's a lot of pull in different direction. Annie Mason says, if it can happen in your physical body, it can happen in your business. So if Jesus can heal and restore your body, why can't he do it in your business? Isn't that cool? Whatever your business is, maybe your business is actually your household if you're a stay-at-home mom, or maybe it's where you work or whatever it is. But I thought that just stirs healing and freedom. So, you know, it's good to remember that communion isn't magic, of course, but it reminds us of what Jesus paid for and helps us receive his fullness into every area of our life, home and workplace, and of course then city and world. Amen? So I'm just going to read our core verse here. And I've been reading, our core verse is usually like four words, but I'm reading the whole context because it is 100% worth reading. So it's 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. It says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So our theme is, do this in remembrance of me. The first week we talked about who are you doing it with, right? We talked about the power of community and how communion actually means fellowship. So communion itself points to relationship with God. It's not an empty ritual. It's not a tradition, even though it is a tradition, but it's not just that. It actually directly points to an act of relationship with Jesus. And then the second week we talked about the power of our memory and being kept by God, not just stuck in a cycle of being lost and found and lost and found and lost and found. And hopefully you didn't forget last week's message. Just checking if anyone's listening. But the power of memory, that really, that was a good thing to meditate on. And it kept me going this week as I was thinking about what I was remembering. Was anyone else extra conscious of what you were remembering? Whether it was negative or positive or testimony or an anti-testimony, right? And so it kind of convicted and held me accountable as we took communion. So today we're talking about coming to the table. And I want to open with a parable that Jesus shares in Luke 14. I'm not going to read the whole parable, but I'm going to give you a summary of it. So Jesus tells the story of a man who throws a banquet feast and he invites all his guests, but they all deny the invitation because of excuses. And the guests that denied didn't say, "Oh, I'm fasting, I'm not going to eat." They just said, "I'm too busy." So they were all going to eat still somewhere else. It's just that they didn't want to come to the banquet table to eat. Does that make sense? So how many, I'm not going to say a share of hands, this would be too embarrassing, but you get to a certain age where you're really happy if someone cancels, right? Anybody? If we're really honest. And I don't know who I was talking to recently, but I was talking to somebody and they were like, oh, I know who it was, so I can share it. We were like, oh, we should make a plan and then cancel it. Like, we know we're going to cancel it and then we'll have a free night. It's going to be great, right? That's not what Jesus was talking about here. He was talking about a banquet feast that you actually want to go to, okay? So that's important. This isn't a social obligation. This was a real party. And all of his guests said no. So one of them said he had to go deal with his field. The other one said he had to go deal with his cattle. And the other one said that he had to go deal with his marriage. And so when I was looking at this, I thought, what do those three areas really represent for us today? Most of us don't have cattle or fields. Maybe some of us do. It's awesome if you do. But I saw the field, it really represented the future security, maybe some identity. It's like, I can't come to the banquet table. My future security is on the line. Anyone ever thought of that when you were invited to something? Or cattle. You know, oxen carry loads. So my ability to carry what I need to in this season is so much. There's so much to carry. I can't come. I'm too weighed down by life. Or marriage. What I am in close relationship with, and I said what, all right? I'm not talking about marriage here. Don't misquote me. But where I find my identity, where I find my home, right? It can become actually a justification to not come to the communion table because it's consuming us. And so then the man tells his servants to go invite the crippled and the blind and the poor and the lame. And I would think if anyone had a reason not to come to the banquet table, it would be that description right there. Whether it was a physical reason, like I can't get there, or whether it was too much shame or too much embarrassment. You following me? And yet they didn't let anything prevent them from coming to the banquet table. I love this verse because this story because it really represents the reasons we come to the communion table and the reasons we often find ourselves not coming to the communion table and coming to different tables. I was originally going to put a bunch of tables up here. We have a really weird thing in our house. We have so many tables at our home. If you ever come to my house, it's the strangest thing. I have like a grandparents' table. I have another grandparents' table. I have my parents' table. And then Brian and I, I'm like, wouldn't it be fun to just have our own table? But I'm not buying any more tables. We literally have tables everywhere. And it's to the point where I'm like, can we just get rid of what, even like broken tables? Does anyone else collect tables? I hope not. It's not a great collectible item. And so I should have brought them all here. But how often do we collect tables in our lives? We collect things where we go and we feed ourselves when we have no business sitting at that table. Are you following? And yet, when Jesus says, I have a communion table, I have a table of relationship, and I'm sitting here and I'm waiting for you, and we say, no, 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 God, I've got another table I have to be at. You following? So remember our key verse, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus is inviting us to his table, but if we're honest, we're going to sit at a table every day. The question is, which table are you sitting at? What's the table at your workplace? What's your desk table? What's your dining room table in your home? What's your marriage table? What's your friendship table? What's your finance table? What's your habit table? You following? What's your actual breakfast table? When was the last time you actually sat down to eat breakfast? I'll tell you where my breakfast table is. It is in the passenger seat of my car. If you know me, it has been that way for about, I don't know how long. It's kind of embarrassing. And then I was like, no, that's just who I am. I just eat in the car, my breakfast. I'm not a morning person, so that's where it is. So where are the tables? Where are the places where you go to feed yourself? If I were to go to McDonald's and I was going to expect a really high-quality Italian meal, would you call me faith-filled or stupid? What table you go to determines what you receive. And some of us are more faith-filled than we give ourselves credit. We keep going to tables where Jesus isn't sitting and expecting a Jesus result. And we're waiting, and then we start complaining. And we're like, well, I guess I'm just under attack. And yet Jesus is sitting at the communion table and he's saying, come to me all who are weary, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And yet we're over here at the heavy laden table, at the burden table, and we're looking for rest, but we're seated at the wrong table. There's this fine line between being faith-filled and having a stupid moment. Right? No one's stupid, but some of us have stupid moments. And I've been there. And it's like, what were you expecting at McDonald's? If you're not expecting a Big Mac, then you're crazy, right? Are you tracking? It says Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived, for God will not be mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will reap. Right? This isn't just a powerful scripture on generosity, but it's talking about what table are you seated at and what are you expecting to be served? Right? If I go to the table of disappointment and sit down, I cannot expect to receive hope. That's not faith. That's a moment of stupidity, right? That's not an attack. I'm seated at the wrong table. You don't earn your way to the communion table. Jesus already made a way. In fact, you don't even have to get up from the table you're at. He'll just pick you up and he'll put you at the right table, right? But many of us are stuck to the wrong chair. We're at the wrong table and we're expecting kingdom results, but we're not seated at the banquet table. We're seated at the field table, the cattle table. You tracking? Without Jesus at the table, disappointment and trouble does not serve hope.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.